Okay, so we'll do some review from yesterday. So, and again, I'm going to need your opinions. This is I'm set up for class discussion, not for a lecture. So it'll be really short if it's just me talking. So yesterday we covered the fact that music is an expression of the heart, similar to a tattoo, where when you get it, often people get a tattoo to express something that's inside of them. And music is an expression similar to that, similar to painting, similar to writing a book. It comes from deep inside. Does anyone have something on that point from yesterday that they just need to correct us on, or it's fine if you do, you just need to be willing to defend yourself. Yeah.
I just thought of something to add maybe to that thing of tattoos or music, with the song Fools that we talked about. Sometimes that's also an expression of a void in a person's heart.
Yeah.
That's as much as what we were saying, I guess, but they're looking for something to fill, and only Jesus can fill that hole in their heart. Forever, there's a God-sized hole in every soul that only God can fill.
How would you explain that to the person, though? Just those words?
I never had to. So. I don't think we could explain it to them like we would discuss it here.
Right.
I never really thought through how I would do it.
Yeah. Okay, the next thing, review, is that God will not accept strange fire. Like in Leviticus, where they offered strange fire before the Lord, and he sent fire to consume them. He does not accept strange fire. And as a Christian person, to offer strange fire to God is not going to be accepted. Probably won't be consumed by fire from heaven, but. And then personal guidelines or bottom lines in music are very important. And honestly, when I said that yesterday, a lot of you started writing stuff down, more than I thought. So this group of people has a great pre-class set of guidelines, I guess. But that's good. It's kind of like if you don't already know what you think, then you will, when you have to make a decision on the fly, it'll be a little more difficult. And then we also talked about the Song of Fools, like he referred to. And we sort of defined the Song of Fools as a song, you know, if you're writing a Song of Fools, referred to in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 5. It's better to get the rebuke of the righteous than to sing the Song of Fools, Ecclesiastes says. So, and if you are composing songs of fools, that makes you a fool. And then also promote the song of the redeemed, the new song. And that's so neat about that song, that picture in Revelation of those people, the redeemed, singing that new song, is they are so far advanced into things we don't understand, because they're already for sure redeemed. They're standing before the throne, saying to God, "Worthy art thou." So that's like, must be like after the judgment, after so many steps of the Christian experience. So, the song of the redeemed. We need to find those and sing those. So that's yesterday's review. Yes, sir.
Can you classify the Song of Fools for me?
Okay, so we talked about. Anyone want to do that for him? Yesterday, what did we define as the Song of Fools? The glorification of sin. Deceit was another one. Anyone remember? Huh?
Self-centered.
Well, we never got on, we haven't discussed, we will that a little bit today. So I have not discussed the instrumental part of music yet. But today we're going to some, but don't read ahead. Okay, point number two after review. So point number two is ungodly music. Conrad, do you want to read those verses? 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3-5.
Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things?
All right. So, in the on the subject of music, how do those verses apply? Setting himself up as God. So again, you guys can fact check me after this. I'm happy to be fact checked if I'm wrong. There's a Christian heavy metal group called Stricken. It's Stryken, and they were extremely popular for a while, Stricken. Once they were popular, once their bell curve was pretty high, they were popular. The lead singer would always, at nearing the end of the concert, it became a known thing that he would do this. He would take off his t-shirt and throw it to the crowd. Okay, his nasty, sweaty t-shirt. And it would get literally torn to shreds. And it became a thing to get a piece of this guy's t-shirt. What would you classify that as?
Idolatry,
okay. Elaborate. There's no wrong. I mean, I guess there's no wrong answer. Yeah, just
making something more out of men than what
Okay, so in that scene of this sweaty lead singer, what all is wrong with that picture? Let's dissect it just a little bit.
No picture of peace in that.
There's what?
No peace.
No peace. Okay. What else is wrong with that picture?
They're not worshiping God, they're worshiping men.
Okay, so that's the idolatry point. Okay. Okay, so he's without his shirt, so he's standing there without his shirt now. What else?
That lead singer wouldn't do it unless he wanted all the attention on himself.
Okay, so he's... he's drawing attention to himself or he's working the crowd. Anything else? Okay. Idolatry again, that's right.
One different way of saying that, that to me is meaningful, is that using this Christian, I suppose they're Christian lyrics, actually, probably weren't, but you know, say they were, using Christian lyrics as a vehicle to promote their fame.
Yeah.
Or to give them fame. Yeah, that just seems blasphemous.
Yeah. Anything else wrong with that picture? Think of the crowd. So if you would take any one of those people, any one of those people, grab them, set them in Starbucks by themselves, and you would offer that sweaty piece of t-shirt to them. Like, you want this? You think they would take it?
There's
so what's that thing?
There's deception that's happening to all these people that are in there.
Okay, deception's a... Let's flesh it out. Deception. They've lost control, right? Wouldn't you say they've lost? Kind of like
mob spirit.
Yeah. Now, whether if they go there intending to get that jacked up, or if the combination of the atmosphere and the music itself, who knows what? I mean, I have theories on how it gets there. So, a definition of ungodly music that is here is one. It says, our world would love to believe lies in this matter, that indulgence brings happiness, that physical beauty is the number one ingredient of love, that sensual feelings equal love, that there are no consequences for immorality. And the list could go on. That's a classification of ungodly music. Let me read those again, because those are things that I can get deceived in, or at least get soft to. That indulgence brings happiness. That physical beauty is the number one ingredient of love. That sensual feelings equal love. And that there are no consequences for immorality. All right. Anyone have anything else on ungodly music? Or any more thoughts on that? Maybe we could have some more ways to describe ungodly music. Is anyone? Okay, that was a little easier. Where we're going now is going to get a little bit harder. So hypocritical music. Let's see, Lucas, do you want to read that? Amos 5, 21 to 24.
I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn sins. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy viols. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream.
So in that book, it seems like God is saying to a group of religious people who are doing religious things that he's not going to accept them. And it's a warning to them because they're not following his will for them. Okay, so God is not going to accept the hypocritical religion. Does that sound like an okay take on that group of verses? Okay, let's read Romans 1, verses 29 to 32.
being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without the understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
Okay, so that's a list of not so pleasant things. And in the end it says they're worthy of death, not only the ones who are doing it, but the ones who take pleasure in them that do it. So what does that mean? Take pleasure in them that do it. Before we go on, can you tell me that a little bit?
It's almost like you're intrigued with watching other people do things that you would do. Like sin.
Okay.
You talked about that striker group. So probably most of us would not go out there and like grab someone's sweaty t-shirt, but we can do that mentally. We can like worship the ground these people tread on and just, you know, most of us wouldn't stoop that far, but I think isn't that possible to do it mentally and in our minds to like go so hard after something like that to where we just idolize them in our minds.
Yeah.
This verse talked about reprobate mind. I thought about that in relation to those people that do those kind of things. You get so far, it's amazing how far the devil will make you stoop that when you're in your right mind, you really want to actually do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so let's do a raised hand vote of who's willing to call Elvis Presley not a good person? Raise your hand. Are we unanimous? Is anyone not willing to say that? Or would like to give him the benefit of the doubt?
Way dead, but
yeah. Was Elvis Presley a good person? And then I could shift it back one step and say, was what he represented good? Then would you all vote against him? Anybody want to vote for what he represented? To popular culture. Okay, so then I have a question for you. You've all been pretty hard on Elvis Presley here. Okay? So, there is a man, he's a living, breathing human, who, in Central America, who for years would not join the church, but his family was. And he was very supportive, but he himself didn't want to. He went on for years like that, and then one day, he was born again. And it was an incredible change. This man, his favorite song is "When Peace Like a River," sung by Elvis Presley. Is that a clash? That's a clash. Okay.
Can we listen to it?
Tomorrow.
Ungodly people can say true things. Not because, how should I say, just because somebody says a few wrong things doesn't mean that everything is wrong. So, I don't know the version of this person things of One Piece like a river. But if it's sung properly, then it's okay.
It sounds a lot like Southern Gospel. So the version is okay.
I also wonder if it's from Central America. You didn't come to the song with preconceived or predetermined motives of who Elvis Presley was, so it wasn't very contradictory for him to start listening to it. So I'm not saying that it's good for him, but all right for us.
But you'd kind of like say that. That's okay. That's okay. Yeah.
What about with? Maybe you talked about this yesterday. I was going to ask you about it out of class, and I wasn't in the whole class either. But Luke 9:49, what John had to say to Jesus. about the one casting out devils.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't doing it. He wasn't one of them. But what Jesus had to say was forbidden not. For he that is not against us is for us. So I don't know if that's twisting it up a little more yet or not. But now, I do draw a line between what he was saying. I guess I do feel differently about whether this man had no idea of who Elvis Presley was except that song.
I doubt it. He probably liked Elvis
Presley.
Draw
a man to himself through Elvis Presley.
Okay.
That would be my opinion.
Okay.
But not someone who knows Elvis Presley and who he represented as a child of God and is a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a different story.
So yesterday I used the illustration, and I'll say it again, not everyone was here, but if the devil was standing right here as 6 foot tall, and here he is, and he said to you that God is love, would he be telling you the truth? Would he be preaching truth to us? He would be, right? But why would we go to the devil to find out if God is love? Now, so we're against what Elvis Presley represents to popular culture, but but possibly we're okay. We think God could use Elvis Presley to draw someone to himself. Now, how will we discern that? Like, what? Do you have any practical advice for us?
I got, I think, more of a question. Why do we pass judgment on Elvis? I mean, I know we know the facts now, but do we pass judgment because Dad says it's wrong, or church says it's wrong, or is it because we believe it that it's wrong? Or because of what he...
Well, do you believe that what Elvis Presley represents is wrong? I mean, that's a fair question. Whether your dad said it or not, I guess. Yeah, I think that's good. You got to believe it in your own heart. Is that what you're... Yeah.
Yeah, because I think so often we pass judgment on something or someone because it's popular or others do.
Yeah.
We don't want to stand out. We need to make our own stand as well.
Yeah. So to continue on with that, with a that similar train then. So it's, okay. Let me think here. What I want to say. Let's just give us some context maybe, or some options. So Elvis Presley represents the rockers of the 60s and 70s maybe. Immorality, and he died of a drug overdose. So he doesn't represent good things. Now let's pull it back from him, and let's say yesterday I kind of forget who, but we threw out country music. We threw it out here, which I'm just saying that's what we did. So now, if we take country music and set a Christian theme, where are we at? Would that be a mixed offering or strange fire?
Is country music the style or the words or what are we exactly talking about?
You define it for us. So country music is a style, definitely.
Right.
Yeah.
But like, so say you put gospel words to a country tune,
is that
country?
That's kind of what we're referring to.
Right.
Right at the moment. That's what I'm trying to pull out of you.
It's gospel country.
Gospel country. Okay. Would we get the same unanimous vote against that we do against what Elvis represents? I get the feeling not. Who's willing to vote against it?
I don't like it.
You can't be just your preference.
Yeah. I would say it is because if you keep feeding that kind of things, you're soon going to be let to cross over the lyrics is not going to be that hard.
Okay.
At least for me. I mean, I know myself enough that I listen to that long enough. It's not going to take me long to be like, well, it's not that big of a deal. Just put some other words in there. I think it for me, it would be dabbling around too much.
Hmm.
It's put me on the edge too much.
Okay.
And so I can't really go there.
So sort of a safety net for you, you shouldn't.
That's what I would say for myself.
And isn't it still saying that you're okay with what country represents?
Okay.
So you're willing to listen to that style or not?
Let me say, sorry, I'm really shooting my mouth there. But
that's good.
I'm cruising down the road through my neighborhood, and I have it cranked full volume. I most likely can't hear the words, but my neighbors are like, oh, that's such and such a song.
Yeah.
Right? He's not going to know you have gospel lyrics to that. And it's going to send out a testimony that, oh.
What if you are in your car by yourself in the middle of the wilderness? And your neighbor can't hear you. Is that what you will allow yourself? So somebody advocate for it. Does anybody feel strongly for it? Advocate for it.
Well, what is the style wrong? So say it's a really pretty tune.
Hmm?
Is it wrong?
Why are you going to go to the world to pick the tune for music?
Well, it's nice if you're nice.
Yes, sir.
It's a poor marriage of music and text.
Country music. And text.
Country music, if you listen to it, the beats are often, it's, how should I say it, it can be sort of an angry tone to it maybe, or not peaceful, and some of that, and gospel Christian is not that, it's a dichotomy that does not fit well together. And I'm not sure if
it's
the right words to explain country.
So are we worried about what country represents or the actual sound of the country music in that particular case?
I guess what I'm saying is music itself does send a message, and is it sending the same message as the text?
Like I said, this is a a condensed version of a condensed version, so we're not going to fix it here today. But let me stretch it farther. What if we put Christian lyrics to a heavy rock set of music? Sorry, that was me. No. We might not be quite as familiar with them. So what about the head? Yeah. They were old style Southern gospel country is what they were. Yeah. A lot of them people sang country songs and gospel songs, both. Like they'd have a Christian album and a country album. But let's stretch ourselves to the rock, heavy rock Christian. Is that a true dichotomy?
What is dichotomy?
To call something wicked good, I guess, or okay. Yeah, to say Christian rock.
We're supposed to be on the rock, not.
Okay. True. Yeah. So the illustration is that there clearly is a place where there is mixed music, as in you're mixing godly and ungodly. Now, I don't even begin to know where to draw that line necessarily. But like on point number 5 then. So the character of God. Could you guys describe the character of God to me? Okay, holy.
Just.
Unchangeable.
Rock solid.
Rock solid, okay. Anything else? Those are good. Now, if you would take those characteristics of God, of God's character, and write them on the board, and then you could take literally any song lyrics, any song where you know the lyrics and the style of music are together, and conceivably test it versus that. Is it holy? Is it just? Is it? And there will still be some discernment needed. There's no bulletproof way that I know of to, because personal preference comes in, and desire comes in. If you want it to be right because you like it, right?
If we take it's a country song, technically the way the notes are written wouldn't be wrong. So is it the music that's played along with it? Like the instrumental music that would make it wrong? Or if you want to call it wrong?
So in that question, which we just don't have time, but I'll tell you what I think, is that in that question is preloaded with what country represents. Not just the notes of the song.
So you're saying the way they wrote the song, they had the country representation in mind.
No, I'm just saying it preloaded in the question of whether or not you it's possible to mix, to have mixed music. Is if you take the world of country music represents to us or to society, and put godly music to it, is that opposing itself? So. But we're going to get into the actual music here in a little bit. If we don't run out of time. Anyone else want to say something before we move on? So testing music against the character of God is something you can do. I'm being careful not to give conclusive opinions here.
I don't know how, as I see it, music has flavors. You think of recipes and flavors of tasting, some just do not mix.
Okay.
And when you think of God and His holiness, the chaos of rock and roll and even hard country and stuff like that just don't mix with how we understand God to be, in my mind. This is my opinion. I picture God as structured and orderly,
yeah,
and beautiful, not all beat or we're crashing on the waves type of thing. Yeah. And there's a flavor that comes in there, country versus gospel, and lyrics to music that we were hearing earlier before mixing. So if we get the flavors that match,
yeah,
then we can see God as He is when we sing songs.
Yeah. So like I said yesterday. All right, let me read that again. I do not want to be your judge. I do not want to be you. I do not want to be your filter. And I refuse to be your policeman. But the point is, I will push you to live intentionally, and to be aware of your surroundings enough to understand what's happening to you. In other words, you have to be your own policeman and filter and judge. But at least be aware of what's happening around you. You know, choices have consequences, and music and music styles and what you listen to, things happen. At least be aware of that. You good?
I have another question.
Okay, go for it.
I'm gonna get on with this, though. So is it some music gives you it kind of makes you excited?
Mm-hmm.
Is it wrong? Like, it's not really wrong. Like, some of them get you really pumped or whatever.
Mm.
Is it that it's considered in line with God's character?
Yes.
Would that be considered in line with God's character?
I think it would, because we should be excited to serve God.
Okay, so then, that's great. Now, let me read you something. Thank you. This is good. I wish we had more time. Okay, so there's a person whose name is Nick Conan. Cohen. He's from Britain. He's from Britain. And he was an early promoter of rock and roll. Okay, so this is his statement about the music itself. Okay, it says, what's new about rock music? And this is in the 60s. This is when it's first coming out. What's new about rock music is its aggression. And this is a promote, like, okay, so this is not some Bible-thumping fundamentalist saying. This is the promoter of the rock music. What's new about it is its aggression, its sexuality, its sheer noise. And most of this comes from the beat. This beat is bigger and louder than any beat before it, simply because it has been so amplified. So, does that in line with God's character? It's aggression, it's sexuality. It seems easy to say it's not. Yeah. Both.
I know, but what I'm saying is, in Christian singing, you get excited about what you get excited. It's the words, they affect you. The words, not the music. But I think oftentimes we feel emotions because of the way songs are written. Oftentimes you get excited from music, worldly music. It's not necessarily because of the words as much as the music.
So we're singing a happy song, but we're singing it in a very slow way. And Kristen can have the same result?
That's the leader's problem. What does it make you do when you're excited? I think that would be a test.
Yeah.
You know, we can see that. I mean, you go out in the streets and, yeah, they're happy. Aha. What if they, you know? I don't know that. I think that's the key. Does it make you worship when you're happy? Or does it make you dance and do all kinds of other funny things? Could that be an indication as to what it's actually doing? What side of you is it feeding?
And what mindset does that music give you down the road? Like, listening to a cappella music with the right words, it's going to build you a mindset that when you're faced with a problem, you have that mindset and you'll respond in that way. You're listening to music that gets you excited. Sure, it gets you excited, but you feel good for a while and you're faced with a problem. How do you respond to that problem with the mindset? If it was a fake happiness, it'll show. If it's a true happiness, you'll be positive about it and work through it for what it's worth.
I was excited this morning when you sang "Truth Is Beautiful." Excitement's not that's not the bad thing. It should be. Music does have emotional value, and that is good.
Yeah, and so to and to reiterate, my goal is not to come away from this meeting with a conclusion that we can all take home as a bulletproof place for us to draw the line, but to make you aware of what's happening, or make you aware of what's happening. So, in the last, is it over at 4, is that right? So, in the last couple of minutes, and again, you can fact check me, that's fine. I always feel a little bit vulnerable when I make strong statements. So there is a beat called an anapestic beat, which is technically out of rhythm from the universe. Like, if the traditional beat is the emphasis on the first note, so it would be strong, soft, 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 strong. This is some other variation of that, where it would be soft, soft, strong, soft. Or
if
soft.
If you're listening to that, can you pick it out?
Yeah, I can, so. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you would be able to if you knew what to listen for. Or do you know what to listen for? You might know what to listen for. I'm just stating the fact that this beat is a reality out there. This beat is a reality out there. There is there is a loss of symmetry in your brain when you are listening to that at high levels. And studies have been done, such as where they put people who signed up for or to be willing to be a part of this research, where they stuck them in a room with pizza on the table, all they could eat pizza, and played Eat the Pizza very loud with the anapestic beat. Hope I'm saying that right. To where they kept eating pizza when they were no longer hungry. There's a certain amount of control that is lost. The Washington Post, and I have it right here, which is not a conservative newspaper, said. And this is talking about people listening to music while they're working out. It says, for example, one study found that the anapestic beat, common in some heavy metal music, actually hampered a music workout. 9 out of 10 patients tested on an electronic strength gauge instantly registered a 2/3 loss of muscle strength. That's the Washington Post. So now another one, in organized music like Bach or classical music has been proven to help performance, such as a blind memory exam where one team listened to classical music while they were studying and while they were taking the exam, and the other in silence. The team listening to classical music consistently scored higher in the blind test. I'm out of time. Anyone else? Anyone have anything they'd like to say? So the point I think that of the last part is that the music itself does have an effect, and we can probably spend days trying to dissect that out and see where the good or bad is. So again, my goal is to try to at least start to make you aware of what's happening around you. You can take it from there. Thank you for your help.